Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me again today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. It's crossandthrone.com. On our website, you can get copies of these programs for free, download them, play them, put them on your iPod, whatever you'd like to do. And we would be happy to have you do that and do it with an open Bible. By the way, if you can't remember Cross and Throne, you can also get to us by going to paulsevangel.com. By the way, just a couple announcements before we get started. We are having a Bible conference here in the Chicagoland area in a town called Fox Lake, Illinois. And it'll be September 18th, 19th, and the 20th, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And consider coming up and joining us. We'll have some good speakers there and talking about the message of the Apostle Paul and the ultimate salvation of all mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we hope that we'll see some of you up here for the conference. We are in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we're continuing where we left last time. And where we left last time was we actually prayed. And we're going to continue as we look in, let's look at this prayer again. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says he doesn't cease giving thanks for you, making mention of my prayers. This is verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. Now notice this. Why is Paul praying that we might know something about him? In the first chapter, he talked about God choosing us, the Father choosing us, and the Son delivering us, and we're being sealed for this great allotment. So why is Paul, after telling us what we're getting, why does he all of a sudden stop and pray that we might have a realization of him and what he's getting, what Christ is getting? Because it's more important for us to know. We need, in order for us to understand our role and our place in this universe, we got to first of all understand what God has planned for his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he prays that we might have this realization, in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. Christ has a calling. He's the head over all things. In Ephesians 1, verse 10, 9 and 10, God makes known to us the secret of his will to have an administration of the complement of the eras to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth in him. And by the way, that is referring to the last two eons, I believe, the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. And did you guys know that the Bible, the last book in our Bible is Revelation, but do you know that's not the end of time? That's not where the end is. The end is found in 1 Corinthians 15, when he abolishes death and brings life to all. But that's not till the very end, after the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. But we're going to see that God's great purpose of the eons, all of God's purposes and plans are centered in the person of his Son. And so you and I are Paul is praying for us, that we might know what his calling is, what the expectation of his calling is, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing. And I think in each one of these prayers, we see an echo of the first 14 verses of Ephesians 1. We see the expectation of his calling found in verses 3 to 6. We see the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints found in verses 7 through 12, because God redeemed the saints and Christ delivered them through his blood, and he is going to rule them in the next two eons. He has an allotment coming, and he's going to enjoy it. And then in verse 19, we see the transcendent greatness of his power, which corresponds to verse 13 and 14, where we see that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and it goes on to talk about the deliverance of that which has been procured. And so I think if you compare the three items Paul prays for us to have realization in, and wisdom and revelation in, they correspond what goes on in verses 3 to 14. So what is the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might of his strength? Notice that phrase, in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. Do you realize that creation is never spoken of in these superlative terms? Creation is this great act of God, and it goes to show you that God puts more emphasis in the ascension of Christ in our the power that's gonna that is at work in us who believe is something that took is more power than took in creating the cosmos. God never talks about creation in this manner. And this, by the way, and just to back up, notice the phrase "transcendent greatness of His power for us who are believing." And by the way, three times in Ephesians we see this phrase "transcendent." Verse 19 of Ephesians 1, it talks about the transcendent greatness of His power for us who are believing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, we read this: that in the oncoming eons He should be displaying the transcendent riches of His grace and His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. There's transcendent riches of His grace. And then finally, in Ephesians 3:19, we read this: to know the love of Christ which transcends knowledge. So we have transcendent power in Ephesians 1, transcendent grace in Ephesians 2, and transcendent love in Ephesians 3. Did you hear this? Ponder what God is telling us here through Paul. Transcendent power, and it's applied to us. Transcendent grace is displayed in us, and transcendent love is showed to us. Do you hear that? Let's repeat that. In Ephesians, God's just not exercising His power, showing grace, or loving us. He is showing transcendent grace applied to us, transcendent greatness of His power applied to us. In chapter 2, it's the transcendent grace shown in us. And in Ephesians 3, it's her transcendent love that is shown to us. And so this is, Paul uses this term three times here, and it has to do with the power, grace, and love, and it's all has to do with us. So we're prayed that we might know what is the transcendent greatness of His power applied to us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might of His strength. And when did you ever see that displayed? Does it say in creation? No. It says, which is operative in the Christ, rousing Him from among the dead. By the way, the word rouse has to do with the soul. And seating Him at His right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship in every name that is named. Notice the Lord Jesus is ascended here. It was this power, this transcendent great power that was operative to Christ when it roused Him from the dead, seated Him at His own right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty, authority, power, and lordship in every name that is named. And this is the in the celestials, friends, in these terms that are used here, these powers, these sovereignties, authorities, and powers, and lordships, these are political divisions. So there are a group of divine beings. You know, when I was in when I was among the Christian churches, we always talk about angels, never making distinctions as if angel was a covering term. But here it talks about political distinctions. So this is going to tell us, as we pointed out earlier, you and I have a role in the celestials very similar to that of Israel. It's almost going to be a political role. The celestial realms are not on terms with God just yet. And God is going to use the ecclesia, which is His body, just in the same way He's going to be using Israel among the nations. Just like Israel will be the priesthood nation to bring the nations to God and the kings to rule for God. And I believe in such, and you and I have a role among the celestials that's going to be very similar among these celestial beings. And so the conception of heaven that we have, you know, that we're all going to sit in a cloud or something like that and wear shiny clothing, it's just so ridiculous. We're going to be occupied in the celestial realms, and we're going to be doing work for our God up there in connection with these celestial beings. And by the way, you know, there's a passage in Romans 8 just to show to you, you know, people think that in heaven everything is wonderful and beautiful, that right now everything obeys Him up there. But notice something. In Romans 8, Paul talks about the fact that he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor sovereignties, nor the present, nor what is impending, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice he mentions messengers and sovereignties. Messengers are a form of angelic beings, and sovereignties are even higher ones. In other words, these messengers and sovereignties would try to separate us from the love of God if they could. So that just shows you there's a concept regarding heaven and angelic beings and sovereignties that I think we got too much religion and religious thought on rather than going to the scriptures. So this power in Ephesians 1 is operative in us, the same power that was operative in the Christ when it roused from the dead and seated him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, we're living in a present wicked eon now, but also in that which is impending. There's eons that are coming. We're going to see the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. And by the way, the Concordant version gets it right here. It translates this word eon. In the King James and the other versions, they take this Greek word eon, they translate it forever in one place, and they translate it world and age and others, and it gets it right here. We live in the present eon, and Christ is up there now overall. So in one sense, he is already head over all things, but it will be manifested in the eons to come. So he's not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending, and subjects all under his feet. Now that phrase there, subjects all under his feet, is a quotation from Psalm 8. Remember, we talked about Ephesians 1:9, that God has made known to us the secret of his will concerning heading up all in Christ. This is a quote of Psalm 8 here in Ephesians 1:22. When it says he subjects all under his feet. In Psalm 8 and in Genesis 1, God put all things under Adam. But what was under Adam? Sheep, oxen, and beasts of the field. But here Christ is not just over that. He's over all the celestial realms. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's expanding the glories of Christ that were unknown in the past. Christ was known to be Messiah. He was going to be the second Adam on earth to reign over the earth. But here in Ephesians 1, he's ascended up far above all the heavens. He's among the celestials here, and you and I have a place there with him. And I know what I just said didn't give justice to the text here, but I hope that you can read and study this and learn it. It says he subjects all under his feet and gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body, the complement of the one completing the all in all. Vladimir Gelasnov translates this, the complement which rounds out the universe to the last detail. We're going to have to go back and make comments on this next time. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us. Go to our website, crossandthrone.com, and listen to these programs. Get a copy of the Concordant version there, the Concordant commentary, and some other materials we make available. Our web address, if you want to keep this program on the air, please consider helping with the cost of the radio station. It's P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can just make a donation on our website and click the button and make a donation through PayPal. We have a conference coming up in Chicago, September 18th through the 20th. Please come to that. Come join us. Come hear some good speakers as we discuss the evangel that God committed to Paul and the salvation of mankind through the work of the cross. Until next time, remember this. The closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.